Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Pastor Corey, one of the pastors on staff here at Legacy United Methodist Church. And I come to you with a heavy heart because of today's subject. I also come to you with a warning. That warning is today I'm going to be talking about depression and a little bit about suicide. And so we are all adults here. So if you need to go get some more water, check on your phone during certain times during this message, it's fine. Get up and do that. Okay? This subject within the church is extremely important. Now, pastors have to go to school to do what we do. And pastors have different types of schooling and different amounts of schooling. Brandon has gone through enough schooling to be a medical doctor. And yet here he is making a fifth or a fourth, of what a medical doctor would do. And I too have gone, my undergraduate was in pastoral ministry, and I have gone to seminary in Nazarene Theological in Kansas City, Missouri. And in all that, I studied theology, and theology simply means study of God. I studied God, I studied ethics, I studied everything that I need in order to be a pastor. And out of all of that, you get one whole, in 8 years, you get one semester of counseling. One semester of counseling. And so if you were to come to me and say, Pastor Corey, I'd like to have coffee with you. I want to talk. And I would say, yes, let's go have coffee. Let's go somewhere that your favorite coffee shop, let's sit. And I would listen. And I would talk. But when it got to the point where it was outside my depths, outside my one little semester, where I could be extremely dangerous, I stop the conversation and say, you know what? Stop right there. I love you too much to screw you up. Here is some names and some phone numbers of people to call. We are not qualified, but they are. They are qualified. And I have to tell you, if you've never been to a counselor in your life, if you've never been, go. Even if you think that you don't need to, go. Because they help you see depths, things that you did not see. Things you've worked with in your whole life. You know your life, you were there. You were there through it. At least some of us were. And you think you know what you know about your life, but the counselor professional helps you see things. It's kind of like my entire life I've worked with food. And in our house, Becky doesn't cook. I do. I do all the cooking. If she were to cook, then we eat out. My entire life, I've worked with food. And when I prepare a meal, it tastes, it's palatable. We can eat it. Now, recently for my birthday in Denver, we went to a 5-star restaurant, $150 a plate restaurant. We sat down and they used the same ingredients I use. But whoa, did it taste better? The stuff I eat, the stuff that I make, tastes like garbage compared to what they did. But it was the same ingredients, the same type of ingredients, but because they are masters at it, because they are trained, because they are 5-star chefs, they can make something wonderful out of it. Brandon and I, we love you too much to screw you up. So go to a professional. Go to a professional and have them help you. Now, with that said, I am going to share some things about life, about depression, and about suicide. The past 3 years, I have done 3 funerals for young men who have committed suicide. Now, some of you in here deal with depression, and you know what it is. And some of you have no clue, have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk to you later, okay? Because you have no idea what I'm talking about. For those of you who do know what depression is, who deal with it, who fight it, I want to share something with you, something special. You wake up every morning knowing that as a believer, you hold in your hand the idea, the known fact that Jesus loves you. You know this. You know it deep down that Jesus loves you, but then you can't get out of bed and you feel so broken that in your other hand you hold the idea that you are so broken by depression that how can he love me? there's something wrong. And these two hands seem to never come together. You hold two truths together in the same body, the same brain. You know this is possible because you all have relatives that you love immensely, but you want to have nothing to do with them. Two truths can be evident and be held at the same time. Let me tell you something, folks. Those of you who are struggling with depression, let me tell you the truth. The truth is, you are never too broken to be loved by God. That your depression does not define you in God's eyes. God loves you. He cares about you. And you will never go so far as to be away from that love. Your depression does not influence or define how God loves you. Embrace the love that he has for you, even though you feel broken. Now, oftentimes in depression, we want to find blame. We want to blame something. We want to blame someone. One time at a woman's retreat, I was listening to the speaker. You guys awake? I was a special invite. And the speaker was up front speaking about depression. And she said that if you have depression, I have the answer for you. I have the answer for you. All you need to do is give it to Jesus. All you need is Jesus. You give it to him, he will take away your depression. And then I got mad. Oh, I got mad. I got mad. Because here's what that does. If you've read this in the book or heard it online, or even it's preached in some churches here in this town, if you've heard that, it is a lie. Because what happens is this. You go to the conference and the conference says, the speaker says, oh, just give it to Jesus. Jesus will take care of it. That's all you need is give it to Jesus. Have faith and give it to him. And you're like, yes, I'll give it to him. So you run to the front of the altar, you give it to him, and then you go home that night, and you think, oh, what a relief. I'll be able to get up in the morning without having to be stuck in bed, be pressed between the sheets because of being too depressed to get out of bed. And you go to sleep that night, anticipating what the morning will be different than it has been the past several years. And the morning comes, and then you realize that it's not. The depression is back. And the letdown comes. And you think to yourself as you're laying there, you're thinking, well, I know God can do this. I know God can do this, so it must not be him. And if it's not God, then it must be me. And then your depression rolls. It rolls into a big ball, and it gets bigger and bigger. That is a lie, friends. That is a lie! Do I believe that Jesus sometimes heals someone when they run to the front and give it to him? Yes, I believe that happens. I believe it. But I'd say that happens less times because God wants to spread his love and joy to all kinds of people. So God works best. He wants to work through all kinds of people. He wants to bring joy to not just you, but to doctors and nurses and friends and family, and I suppose pastors, who help you through the process of healing. If you are struggling with depression, it is okay to find help. And if someone tells you that all you need is Jesus, it is a lie. Ignore it. Walk away. Wash your hands. Have nothing to do with it. You need Jesus, and you need the doctors, the counselors, the pastors, the friends, because Jesus works through all of those people to bring healing and wholeness to your life. It is bad theology. And Jesus, can you believe that Jesus dealt with bad theology? Right? If you've read any of the stories, Jesus deals with bad theology. One day Jesus was preaching to the crowds, And this guy runs up and says, Jesus, wait a sec. Did you see the 5 o'clock news? Did you see those guys that were killed at the altar? They were making a sacrifice at the altar. And they were coming back. And the governor had sent in soldiers to kill them for something they didn't even do. It was a retaliation to this other thing. Did you hear? Wow, Jesus, who do you think? Those guys must have been really bad sinners to cause themselves to be killed like that. Or maybe it was their parents. What do you think? I can just see Jesus. Jesus does the Jesus eye roll. And before he can answer, he pull that down because I don't want them reading that. Listen to me. I can just hear him. You see the eye roll. And he's praying. He's like, Father, when are these people going to get the right idea about you? That you're not out to pinch their shoulders every time they do something wrong, but cause bad things to happen as punishment. That's not how this works. Don't they know they live in a broken world? Bad things happen. They live in a broken world and bad things happen. So Jesus takes a big, deep breath. And he teaches. This passage is found in John 9, verses 1 and 2. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents, said Jesus, but this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus goes on to say, he talks about blame. He said, do you remember in the news, there was a tower that fell, and in that tower, 14 people died. Do you think that they were sinners too? Do you think that God just gathered around 14 people? Okay, that's a little bit more to the right. Okay, perfect. Now push the tower over. That's how God works? Those people were just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Something bad happened because the world is broken. Depression happens in people because of genetics, because of brain chemistry, because of trauma, because of intense amounts of grief, for many, many reasons, as varied as the people in this room and the people who deal with depression. But Jesus goes on to say, that God did not cause this man to be blind, but rather God's going to use this opportunity to do something great. Jesus is going to heal him. He's going to do a wonderful thing. Paul echoes this in Romans. God did not cause your depression. You and I have depression. Because we live in a broken, fallen world. And God uses that to bring joy and good things out of it. So if you suffer from depression, you are not too broken. You are not too far gone for God to love you as you are. As a matter of fact, he will bring something good out of it. Now, for those of you who've been sitting patiently waiting for me to make a point for you, who don't have depression, who haven't seen this, you see it from the outside, and you probably see people who don't show up for work because of depression, or who deal with depression in the family, and you just can't figure it out. You judge them based on that. Stop it, would you? Stop it. Because you actually have an ability to do something good. Now, people who have depression often suffer in silence. You don't know that they have depression. There's no mark on their forehead. Their thumbs don't go up instead of down. There's no limp. You know, oh, that guy's got depression. Look at that. Depression is silent. And it is amazing that our Christian faith, our Wesleyan faith, is built on two pillars of life, of lifestyle. That is love and grace. And so in your life, in your daily life with friends, family, enemies, coworkers. Love and kindness is essential. On Friday, I had a conversation with the father of a 13-year-old boy who committed suicide. When I was in Denver, celebrating my birthday and getting a head cold, he texted me, and he said, "Happy birthday. I want to buy you a coffee next week and talk. Is that okay?" My response, see, he didn't come up on my phone. He came up as a phone number, not a name. He wasn't in my contacts. And I don't know about you with your phone, but with mine, I get a lot of people fishing, like, you know, I haven't seen you since high school. What have you been up to? It's like, no. Especially with a 406 area code. No. No, you're 701 or nothing. I think you're fishing. But this person knew it was my birthday. So I thought for a moment how I would respond. And so I typed, "Thank you, exclamation point. Forgive me, but I don't have you in my contacts. Could you please let me know who this is so that we can set up a coffee date? Question mark. That's how I usually respond to people I don't know on my phone who I think are legit. That's normal for me. Now, when we had coffee, John said to me, he goes, "Corey, I want you to know how you changed my day. All right? Tell me. When I texted you, as soon as I hit send, I realized I should have put my name in, because we hadn't talked for years, and I got a new number. But your response to me was, thank you." He said, 99% of the world goes, "Who's this? Who is this? Why are you bothering me? Is this a scam?" Most people's response is not kindness and love. But because I responded with thank you, "Forgive me, I don't know who this is. Please share with me who this is." He said, "You changed my thinking for the day. My thoughts were going down a dark path, and because you responded in kindness, they changed." Friends, if you don't deal with depression, you have to understand that there are people walking around who are fighting in their minds right then. They might even be deciding something very important at that moment, and by living your life in love and in kindness and grace, you might be changing somebody's mind. Amen. At that moment and not even know it. Okay? Sometimes the thoughts go dark. Sometimes though, even though we understand that God loves us, even though we understand people love us, the thoughts continue to go dark. And in our brains, we choose a path that we think will solve the problems for us and for our family. 1 month ago, I did a funeral for Henry, 13 years old. 2 years ago, around Christmas, I did a funeral for Dawson, 14 years old. The Easter before that, I did it for Scott, 45 years old. Each of them took their life. Here's what I want you to know from my experiences with those three funerals, those three families, those three believers. First, every moment that their minds went dark, every moment that their thoughts changed, Jesus was with them. Jesus never abandoned them. He was there calling their name, telling them how much he loved them. Jesus was with them all the time. All the time. Never, ever left them. Two. That had they known, had they had a moment of clarity, how much damage and destruction their decision would have made, I'm not sure they would have done it. Because suicide hurts. It wrecks families. It is a pain and a grief that carries forever. I've known Henry for 10 years, and I'm going to carry this a lot longer than that. If you're thinking down that path, please tell somebody you trust. Please. Even if it's your pastor. Here's the third thing. And this addresses bad theology. Those three people did not. I will see those three people in heaven. I will. And if you have some background Catholicism in your mind that says because they committed suicide, they're going straight to hell, it is wrong. That is not biblical. It is not right. Nor is it full of the grace and love of my Jesus Christ, of the God that I know. That is wrong thinking. Bad theology. I will see those three again. I will hug them. I will tell them I love them. I will tell them that I am mad at them for causing the hurt that they caused. And then I will tell them that I forgive them. Friends, I have squeezed my heart like a sponge in front of you this morning. And I've got nothing else to give you. But I want to remind you that if you are suffering with depression, you are not too broken for God. He loves you. He loves you. And it is okay to seek help. Secondly, if you don't suffer with depression, stop judging people. Amen. And act in kindness and love to friends, family, strangers, and enemies. Because you just might be the catalyst that changes their mind, changes a choice that they were thinking about that day. Children of God, as you leave this place, may you be wrapped, just wrapped in the arms of Christ. As he holds your heart, fills it with his love and his grace, so that everywhere you go, it may be shared, spilled and washed over everyone else. May you leave this place filled with peace and love for him and each other. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning.